Om Shri Sai Ram. Offering my most humble and reverential pranams at the lotus feet of our beloved Lord and Master Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba, I once again welcome you all to this concluding session of this spiritual conference which we have been holding in the holy precincts of Prashanti Nilayam, that is the spiritual headquarters of the world. While delving deep into the theme of this conference, Living with Sai, I could only recall these words from a song that was presented in the Divine Presence. Jaise badal bin pani ke, jaise upavan hai phool bina, jaise rajani bin taro ke, subah din kar bina, jeevan kuch bhi nahi, sai tere bina, sai tere bina. Just as the clouds are without the water, a garden is without the flowers, the night without the stars and the morning without the sun, oh dear Sai, our life is meaningless and futile without you. And indeed, what a conference it has been, Living with Sai. Over these 2 days, we have had the good fortune of learning from the eminent speakers the basic concepts and the spiritual practices. Additionally, we have also had the fortune of practicing these in the immediate divine presence, and that too collectively. This session, dear brothers and sisters, is the concluding session in which we are going to delve into the essential dimensions of the theme of this conference, Living with Sai, that are the guiding posts of our journey to Him, with Him. And the first dimension in Living with Sai is the loving way. To delve upon this topic, it is my privilege to invite Dr. Narendranath Reddy. Dr. Narendranath Reddy serves as the chairman of the Prashanti Council of the Satya Sai International Organization, which functions in more than 120 countries. Dr. Reddy has been a consultant and a practicing internist endocrinologist in Southern California, USA, for 40 years. He is a fellow of the American College of Physicians and the American College of Endocrinologists. He has received gold medals for outstanding academic achievements in pre-medical undergraduate program and was also awarded the Physicians Recognition Award by the American Medical Association. He was awarded the Volunteer of the Year Program Award by Beverly Enterprises Organization of the USA for providing voluntary services to the elderly. 4 generations of Dr. Reddy's family have been devotees of Swami, with Dr. Reddy himself coming in the divine fold at the sheer age of 5. I now invite Dr. Reddy to take the program forward.
పావన పుణ్యభూమి గమనం ప్రారబ్ధ కర్మక్షయం దృష్ట్వా ప్రశాంత శీర్ష కలశం నశ్యంతి సర్వాపద చిత్రావారి నిర్మల బిందురనిశం పాపాగ్ని నిర్వాపణం శ్రీ సాయీశ్వర దర్శనం సకల సేయోత్కృష్ట మోక్షప్రదం. విత్ లవ్, గ్రాటిట్యూడ్, హ్యూమిలిటీ అండ్ రెవరెన్స్ ఐ ఆఫర్ మైసెల్ఫ్ అట్ ద డివైన్ lotus feet of our dearest, sweetest, loving and omnipresent Lord Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Dear brothers and sisters, loving Sai Ram to all of you. On behalf of everyone assembled here and devotees from all over the world watching online these beautiful proceedings, I express my gratitude to Bhagavan for this special gift. I congratulate the organizing committee for this spiritually uplifting conference focusing on the purpose of the organization and the goal of human life. Swami categorically and clearly said, the purpose of the Satsai organizations and the goal of human life is only one. So we all need to remember that and be clear about it. That is, to realize our innate divinity. That we are the embodiments of divine Atma. We are the embodiments of divine love. That is why often he calls us Divyatma Swarupulara, Prema Swarupulara. I never heard him addressing people as Bhaktulara, because he says he doesn't address devotees. Swami has his own way of telling. He's looking for devotees. Where are my devotees? Where are my devotees? I didn't find the right one yet. Another way he says, you and I are one. Why should I call you devotees? Swami has his own way. So how to reach this goal? The theme of this conference gives the answer. Living with Sri Satya Sai. We are the most blessed and fortunate on this planet Earth among the 7.2 billion people to have been chosen to be living with Sai and receive his infinite grace and blessings. The grace of the Paripurna avatar of this Kali age. So how to live with Sai? Living with Sai is education. Living for Sai is service. And living in Sai is self-realization. The very name Sai gives the answer how to live with Sai. Swami himself dwelled on this before. S-A-I. S stands for selfless service, karma yoga, using the hands in the service of the needy. That is why Swami says, hands that serve are the holier than the lips that pray. Second A is adoration, that is filling the heart with love, that is bhakti yoga. And then third I is illumination, practicing jnana yoga, developing the head. That is why Swami says head, heart and hands, 3H. He calls it EHV, education in human values, the underlying current being love. That is Sai. When we practice this, bhakti, karma and jnana yoga is an integral part, we develop chitta shuddhi, purity of the heart. As Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And Swami said, purity is enlightenment. Once we are pure, we are enlightened. And what is the goal? Goal is also in Sai. Finally, when we finish all our practices, we realize S-A-I. Sai and I are one. That is the ultimate goal. That is the Advaita Darshanam Jnanam. As long as we think God is separate from the devotee, Swami says, dual mind is half blind. So ultimate goal, yes, we realize with all these practices, that Sai and I are one. So that is the ultimate goal. For that, the power is love. Like here also he says, spirit of love is spirituality. Swami said, love is the source, love is the path, and love is the goal. When did he say that? He said, I separated myself from myself so that I love myself. So the whole creation is because of his love. Egoham bahusyam, the one became many so that he will love himself. What is the goal? We already talked about the goal. Goal is to realize we are embodiments of divine love. Then what is the path? Path is also love. Because Swami himself said of all the sadhanas in this Kali age, the greatest and the easiest is the prema yoga, path of love. That is why Swami wrote many vahinis. All of you know 16 vahinis. The first vahini he wrote was Prema Vahini, which dwells how to live in love, because Swami says God is love. But as we say we want to live with Sai, But who is Sai? First we should know who is Sai. Shall we understand Sai? People say, I try to understand Swami. We cannot. Swami himself declared on May 17, 1968, in the first World Conference, "No one can understand my reality today or even after thousands of years of ardent inquiry or austerity, tapas. Even if all the humankind combines in that effort." So let us, brothers and sisters, Swami himself said, don't try to understand my reality. But we all experienced his love. We all can enjoy his love. That we should do. But Swami himself revealed in 1998, in Christmas discourse on December 25th. So if somebody asks you, who is Sai Baba? Swami says, sing this song. I'm not great in singing song. I won't sing. I will tell the script. He says, love is my form. Truth is my breath. Bliss is my food. My life is my message. Expansion is my life. No reason for love, no season for love, no birth, no death. The Swami went on to say, when somebody asks, tell, love is his form and his life is his message. And his message is love. Swami's life, his ideals, his message, his humanitarian works can all be enshrined in one word, love. Swami is the incarnation of love. He is the Prema Avatar. He is the Prem Sai. He is the incarnation of love walking on two legs. So how do we experience his love? Only through love. Swami gave a beautiful example. How do you see the moon? Only through the help of the moonlight. You don't need a candle, you don't need lamp. Similarly, to experience God, we can do it only through love. And we all talk about Swami's love is that of thousands of mothers. And in the last 2 days, I heard many beautiful stories how Swami showered love on so many people. So each one of people assembled here all over, they can write their own Bhagavata, Sai Bhagavata. Each one has a story. The whole world, the libraries cannot be full of the books because so much each one is received Swami's love. Teri mahima likhi na jaye, teri mahima kahi na jaye, the beautiful song says. It is miracle galore, Swami. I just want to share just two anecdotes in my personal life, how Swami showered his motherly love. This happened more than 30 years ago. I was going in Arcadia, California from my work to my house. And when I was driving, there was a 18-wheeler, 70-foot huge truck hit me from behind. It was like a big explosion of the huge sound. I didn't know. I was in a shock. I didn't know what was happening. By the time I realized, it was a major accident. But by his grace, I did not even have a scratch. I had little muscle pains. My life was saved. So when I came to Prashanthi Nilayam, I expressed gratitude to Swami for saving my life. Swami said, I gave you new lease of life. Then he added, but you didn't think about me at the time of accident. This shows even mother, you have to ask her to do something for you. This is beyond mother's love. Even without asking, he does it. He takes care of us, guards us, guides us as our eternal companion. That is his unconditional, pure love. Without asking, that's why he said, no reason for love, no season for love. He's always showering his love. Another time I was in Prashanthi Nilayam. I was having palpitations for people who do not know heart beating fast irregularly. So Swami, I did not mention one word to him. Swami casually, that is how he helps people, casually comes and touches my chest and walks off. Lo and behold, just instantaneously my palpitations gone. Till now they never recovered. That is his abounding grace, how he takes care. We can, every one of us, as he said, we can go on with God's beautiful miracles. As he himself said, these miracles are like visiting cards. You should move on. When we receive this grace, we need to develop a relationship with God. Nurture the love. How? You think God as our friend. or God as our mother, God as our father. I remember many years ago in Guru Purnima time, the Bharat Ratna, the celestial singer of divine music, M.S. Subbulakshmi was here, and Swami called her and told her to give a talk. She prayed to Swami. She said, "Swami, I can give a concert, but not a talk." But she followed divine command. Swami insisted. She came to the stage, and in Tamil she said, "You are my appa, my amma, and you are my guru, all in all." Then she said, "Jai Sai Ram." And then Swami went on clapping, applauding. "This is the best speech I ever heard," Swami said. So it shows we don't need to be verbose. We don't need to talk. How the words filled with love, bhava. Swami is bhava priya, not bahya priya. So we are saturated that love. So that is why we all need to develop that relationship with God. He is our very own. That kind of attitude. I remember my mother and father, they used to live in the ashram. My mother sometimes used to take liberty with Swami. "Swami, give me a room." Swami said, "I'll give you a room." "Swami, I want double room." He said, "Okay, I'll give you double room." "Swami, I want a room extra for doing my puja, prayer room." Swami said, "Okay, I'll give." And then she had a back pain. "Swami, I have back pain. Give me vibhuti." Swami gave vibhuti packet. No. You need to materialize vibhuti and give. So she used to take liberty like that. And my father did not like that. He says, "Swami is omnipresent. He knows what we think, what we need. You should not put pressure on Swami like that. This is not a good attitude." Then Swami called us for interview. And then my mother again said to Swami, "My husband says this is not the right attitude, Swami. Should I change it?" No. You continue that. That is your way. This is good for you. And for him, that is good. To show each one of us have a direct and way how you relate to God. We don't need to imitate others. Each one, God has given a place. But this love for love's sake. Lord Krishna says, "Chaturvidha bhajante imam janat sukritnu arjuna artho jijnyasur arthati jnanecha barashachaba." There are all of us are devotees. We pray for health, wealth, name, fame, position. There is nothing wrong. But the real love for love's sake. That is why Lord Krishna says, "Jnani atmaimaime matam." There is no difference between Jnani and me because he loves me for love's sake. You heard the stories Swami said about the cowherd girls of Vrindavan, Gopikas, how they loved Krishna for love's sake. And they even didn't hesitate. I don't want to go in the story. Give the dust of their feet when their Lord Krishna was suffering for a headache. They didn't care for living in hell. But there are many devotees here who are like that, who have love for love's sake. Yesterday, I happened to meet a wonderful devotee. I will call him Gopala of Sai age. So he works in the South Indian canton here. His name is Subbareddy. Some of you may know. He is from Nellore. So this man has amazing story. So he didn't even finish fifth grade. He never went even to high school. So he was at 12th, he was 12 years old, and his mother told him, "Chant Sai Ram 3,000 times a day." He didn't know how to read and write. He took a palm leaf, every 100 times Sai Ram he used to write at scratch. So like that, 3,000. So his duty was to take care of the cows in his farm so that they don't graze beyond these boundaries of his farm. So that they don't go to other farms. So he was sitting underneath this palm tree and he was chanting Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram. After a few months he watched, without his doing anything, the cows were not going anywhere, just they were within the farm itself. Then he told his mother, "Mama, that's right now I am not doing anything, cows are staying within the farm." His mother said, "Son, because Swami is taking care of that, Swami is keeping them, he's going around." Then this man felt so bad. Swami with such a beautiful, tender feet. This is a rough terrain. There are rocks, thorns here. I won't chant Sai Ram during this time. I will chant Sai Ram only after going home with other rest. See that love for love's sake. He doesn't want Swami to be hurt. So Swami to be bothered. That is the love. Like when Swami was there, every time I come, I used to present so many programs to Swami, get blessings. My mother used to scold me. "You are bothering Swami so much, giving him poor Swami, let him relax." Like that, some of these people have that innocent, pure love for God. That is what we need to develop. Then following my talk. I know there are wonderful Living with Swami, that is distinguished speakers talking how to live youthfully, how to live selflessly, how to live happily. All are important. But underlying current for all this love, because love is the greatest power. For the first time in the history, this first week of November, they had the Parliament of World Religions in Toronto, Canada. And as an organization, we could participate in that. There were about 8,000 delegates from 80 countries. And the theme of the conference was power of love. There were 220 faiths which are represented. We were one of them. But I was amazed to see, when I heard many talks, Swami's talks cover everything. There is nothing, anything else in the scriptures. Yesterday somebody was telling, Gita is the essence of all Upanishads. But Swami's teachings are essence of not only all scriptures, all religions. That's why beautifully said, Sarvamata Sarame Sai Matamu. Essence of all religions is Sai's religion. So living on the youthful way, I can tell you, God is called Sanatana Nityanutana. He is not only eternal, He is ever new. That is why we want to see Him more and more. That is one of the names of God is Nitya Yavana. He is always youthful. So this happened to me about 30 years ago. So I was in the interview room there. I gave a book to Swami to sign. That is the thing we wanted to do. Then meanwhile, the lights went off in the room. So I was wondering, how can Swami sign? Meanwhile, lights came and Swami took the book and signed. He straight looked into my eyes. I can see, even in the darkness, I can see that ants crawling. Then he asked, how old are you? Then he said, you see, you are less than 40. You are already losing hair, wearing glasses. And he said, you see, I have thick crown of hair and I don't wear glasses. I said, Swami, you are divine. You are God. Swami says, I never use my divine power for this. It is because of three P's. Purity, patience and perseverance. So when we develop these qualities, we will be ever youthful too. This is the, I want to add, I know this, or my brothers will be expanding on that. Second is living selfless way. Swami says, love is selflessness. Self is lovelessness. And Swami Vivekananda beautifully said, how spiritual you are is directly proportionate how selfless you are. And is inversely proportional how selfish you are. You need to really do sacrifice for your God, your time, talent and energy, and participate in this wonderful divine mission. But the greatest two obstacles when we do selfless service is ahankara and mamakara, the doership and enjoyership. I can tell you a beautiful anecdote Swami shared, which late Professor Kasturi said. One of the devotees, he invited Swami to his house. Swami, please come to my house. This is a wonderful devotee. Swami said, your house? He says, no Swami, our house. Because he wanted. Oh, Swami said, 50-50 partnership? No Swami, your house. Then he said, he corrected. Then why do you call me to my house? So like that, Swami is mainly saying that you always remember everything belongs to God. Constantly remind ourselves, then whatever we do is just a Narayan Seva. This is the attitude we should have. So I will conclude by saying living happily, because this is what Prabhupada was telling. Swami, I asked him, Swami, what is my duty? He said, you received my love. Premanu panchuko pinchuko. The duty for you, the love you receive, you should share with others. By sharing with others, it multiplies. Swami, yesterday we heard about His Divine Discourse light. When you light many candles, the light still stays the same. Whereas when you share money, resources, it will go down when you share. But love, not only it won't go down, it will multiply when you share. Then we will have happiness. Swami said, when I asked Swami, you do so much to us, what can we do? Swami said, be happy, and be happy. What is happiness? Swami Himself gave a definition. Happiness is union with God. Not little pleasure. We think this little pleasure is ananda. That is, pleasure is interval between two pains. But real happiness is eternal bliss. Taittiriya Upanishad gives the answer beautifully. In Anandavalli it says, one unit is called Manushyananda, where you can imagine a person who is youthful, physically very strong, he is very intellectual, he is scholarly, he has all the wealth in the world, and at the same time he has a noble character. That is one unit, Manushyananda, we have. But the real Ananda, 100 times that is Gandharvananda. 100 times there is Devagandharvananda. 100 times that is Pitru Ananda. 100 times that is Devananda. 100 times that is Brihaspati Ananda. 100 times that is Indra Ananda. 100 times that Prajapati Ananda. 100, like that you go on doing Brahmananda, 10 to the power of 10. You can imagine how much Ananda, that is the real Ananda. Others are pleasure. But to experience this, only you cannot express in words. That is why the same Upanishad says, Yato vacho nirvartante aprapya manasasa. This is something which cannot be expressed in words, comprehended by the mind. It is only to be experienced. This is only the divine gift. It is like Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa said, it is like a dumb man eating a delicious food and he wants to express, he cannot express in words, but you can see his facial expression. In joy. So similarly, a person who is reveling in this Brahmananda is blissful, quiet, blissful, radiating joy and peace. I pray to Swami to bless all of us so that we can live in His love every moment of our life. Jai Sai Ram.
Elucidation on this important dimension, living with Sai, the loving way. At this juncture, I am reminded of a famous doha from Sant Kabir Das. He said, Pothi padhi padhi jagmua, pandit bhaya na koe, dhai akhar premaka, padhe so pandit hoe. Mere reading of any number of books or gaining bookish knowledge would not make you a real scholar. It is enough if you read and internalize the 2.5 syllable word prem, that means love, in order to become a true scholar, a real jnani. And what is love? Just now Dr. Reddy repeated what we heard from Swami yesterday. Love is selflessness. So let us now understand yet another dimension of this important theme, living with Sai, the selfless way. And in order to delve upon this topic, I'm honored to invite Dr. V. Mohan. Dr. V. Mohan is a member of the Board of Trustees, Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. By profession, Dr. Mohan is an internationally acclaimed diabetologist. He holds the world record for maximum number of research papers published by a practicing doctor, 1,200 in numbers. In 2012, Dr. Mohan was awarded the prestigious Padma Shri Award by the Government of India. Overall, Dr. Mohan has received over 170 national and international awards, including the Dr. B.C. Roy Award and the Sri Satya Sai Dhanvantari Award. Very recently, he received the very prestigious Dr. Harold Rifkin Award for International Contribution to Diabetes, which is the first to be received by any Indian as of date. I now invite Dr. Mohan to take over the dais.
Om Sri Sai Ram. I offer my most loving, humble and reverential pranams at the divine lotus feet of our Lord and Master, Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Most beloved Mother Sai, I pray to you to use me as your humble instrument to deliver this talk. Respected elders and my dear Sai brothers and sisters, my most loving Sai Ram and Sai Love to all of you. The last 2 days we have been immersed in bliss, and as we come to the concluding session, we can only thank Bhagavan for bringing us. Just imagine, there could have been so many obstacles on the way which prevented us from participating in this magnificent conference. Speaking for myself, I think the last 2 days have been a lot of introspection and a lot of love has been shared. The mere vibrations in this hall, this divine hall, is something which I will cherish till the end of my life. The title of this seminar is so apt, Living with Sri Satya Sai. And when the All India President called me and said that I should talk about selfless way, how to live with it, I said, I'm sure Swami must have spoken about this. And yesterday also our All India President said that we are back to the basics, we are back to the kindergarten. So where else to go to learn our kindergarten knowledge than from Bhagavan himself? So I started perusing some of his discourses, and I found, lo and behold, not once, twice, but several times he has spoken on this subject. So if we are going to start with the basics, I think we should start first with what Bhagavan himself has said. Bhagavan so beautifully calls selfless service as seva sadhana. So what is seva sadhana? Swami says, and I quote, seva in all its forms, all the world over, is primarily sadhana, spiritual discipline or mental cleanup. Without the inspiration given by that attitude, the urge is bound to ebb and grow dry. So we attend this conference, and a few days later, or even a few hours later after we leave Prashanthi Nilayam, it's all back to square one. But as long as we have that inspiration and the blessings of Bhagavan, then it goes on. Or it may meander into pride and pomp. Just think for a moment. Are you serving God? Or is God serving you? Swami asks. When a pilgrim stands waist deep in the Ganga, takes in his palms the sacred water, and reciting an invocatory formula, pours the water back as an offering to the deity, or arpan as he calls it, what he has done, he has only poured the Ganga back into the Ganga. Similarly, we all think that we are doing a lot of seva by helping people. However, Swami says, when we offer milk to a hungry child or a blanket to a shivering brother on the pavement, you are but placing a gift of God into the hands of another gift of God. You are reposing the gift of God in a repository of the divine principle. God serves, but he allows you to claim that we have served. Unquote. So, brothers and sisters, if this is not humbling, then I ask you, what is humbling? Swami has shown us that whenever we do seva, it has to be done in the most selfless way. In fact, seva is doing a kind deed with love and with no expectation of any return of any kind. And that is truly selfless service. Swami says again, and this quote I have in my office, it sits right in front of me at my eye level, and it's been there for the last 15-20 years. I like this quote so much that I feel I must, and it's so relevant to this talk that I thought I must read it out. Swami says, and I quote, God gave you the time, space, cause, material, idea, skill, chance, and fortune. So why should you feel as if you are the doer? I think that's a beautiful statement which is very, very, very humbling. Swami then goes on in his discourses to talk about many examples of selfless love. He talks about Hanuman, but many people have talked about Hanuman, so I'm not going to talk about that now. But what about Krishna? Krishna is an avatar. He is omnipresent, he is omniscient, and he is omnipotent. We worship him as the Lord Almighty. And yet, what did Krishna do? On the eve of the Rajasuya Yagna, he went to Dharmaraja, Yudhishthira, the eldest of the Pandavas, and when the Yagna was getting ready and the next day there was to be a big feast, he tells Dharmaraja, can you give me some work And the work I wish to do is to clean up the dining hall after all the guests have eaten. This is the Lord Himself taking on the work of doing a simple cleaning job. Okay? We also know that during the Battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna served as a driver, the charioteer for Krishna. But what some of us may not know, and Swami so beautifully told us, is that, you know, that every day at dusk, the battle stops to be continued the next day. What Krishna did as a true charioteer, he took on the role so selflessly that he took the horses, washed them. If they had any wounds, he put healing balms on them and got the chariot ready the next day for the battle again. This is the Lord, the omnipotent Lord, the omniscient Lord, who is doing this, doing His work in a truly selfless manner. What about our own Bhagavan? We can't get a better example of selfless seva than our own Bhagavan. For those of you who watched the video this morning, they showed a scene where Swami is handing out some equipment to the differently abled, some instruments to some differently abled children and young adults. They showed quite a long time, and I don't know whether you noticed, every single person, Swami just didn't hand it over to them, to every single person, He patted them, blessed them by tapping them on the head, and He continued to show His love and His smile from the first to the last person. You know, we start doing that, after the first two or three, we'll say, why don't you do the rest, you know? Or our face will start changing, because we can't keep it up. When divinity comes in, when it's done in a purely selfless manner, that is what we saw in the video. Some of us have been extremely blessed. These have been some of the most blessed days of my life, at least, the days which I spent at Kodaikanal with our beloved Bhagavan, where we have had the opportunity even to have a meal with the Lord. How many people in this world will have an opportunity to have a meal with the Lord? And yet, observing Swami, He hardly ate. If as a doctor I calculated the amount of calories that He ate, it must have been some 50 or 40 calories He might have consumed. And yet, after that, He comes around to every single one of us sitting there and saying, did you eat? Did you have the sweet? Did you have this? Did you have enough? You're not eating enough. And at one point, actually, I had the courage to tell Swami, Swami, you're not eating anything, Swami. We are feeling very bad that you're not eating. No. I'm okay. He just had a dosakai, cucumber with him. I remember that I learned the word dosakai because he said, I've got dosakai, he said. Just one piece of cucumber. That was his dinner. So simple is the Lord. And isn't that a perfect example of selfless love? He himself doesn't eat anything, but he looks after his entire crew, his entire fraternity, all his children, and see that they eat everything. I can go on and on. I mean, his gifts to humanity which he has given, the temples of healing, the temples of learning, the water project, I can go on and on, the houses that he has built for the poor, all these are shining examples of Swami's endless and unlimited selfless love. When I first came to Puttaparthi many, many years ago, about a quarter of a century ago, the one thing which struck me is the sevadals in our organization. I was very surprised because, you know, we are all so eager when Swami is there. Coming for darshan is the biggest thing. We won't give up anything for that. And yet, here were the sevadals who were posted to the hospital or posted somewhere else, posted to one of those blocks where they're looking after, day and night looking after it. Never once cribbing, never once showing a long face, just waiting to do their seva. And this morning when Brother Ramani talked about this, he said, and that explained to me, that they all know that Swami is omnipresent. He is not just in the darshan hall. He is there with them. And that full belief, that selfless seva which they did, I don't see this in any other organization other than the Sri Satya Sai organization. And so, my full salutations to our sevadals who are the backbone of our organization, which is in fact one of the things which had a lasting impression on me. Swami has taught us that work is worship, and Brother Narendranath Reddy also mentioned it in his speech when he said that hands that help are holier than lips that pray. I said this incident earlier in the same hall, but I would like to repeat this incident because it is quite profound. Very often people have asked me, what is this thing about hands that help being holier than lips that pray? It's very confusing. I mean, we don't understand it. Very often in Sai circles, study circles and so on, people come up with, we don't understand this. So I gave an actual incident which happened in my hospital. There was this priest, he's a Hindu priest. He was in charge of a big temple. So he came and he was going around the tests in my hospital when he saw these words written there, hands that help are holier than lips that pray. He got infuriated. He was so angry, he was fuming, and he came running up to my room and he said, I want to talk to you. Well, I said, what happened? Sit down. I don't want to sit down. You are an atheist, he said. I said, I'm an atheist. Okay, why do you say that? No, you're writing all blasphemy all over. You know, he said, what's the blasphemy? Hands that help are holier than lips that pray. So praying is not good, huh? You're saying it's not good. You're asking him not to pray, huh? This is sheer blasphemy. So I said, sit down, sir. Can I just talk to you? And I said, it's not said that praying is not holy. Hands that help are holy. How? You explain to me. I cannot accept it, he said. I said, dear sir, just imagine for a moment that we are having a 15-minute prayer break in this hospital. The entire hospital, all the staff, all of us doctors, we are all sitting and praying now, deep in prayer. And at that particular moment, you have a heart attack. Heaven forbid. Or, at the very least, you fainted or something. Okay? But none of us will move from our seats. We are going to sit there and we are going to pray because praying is very good. Okay? Or, if we left that prayer halfway, came running to you and helped you to get over your problem, will the Lord Almighty be more pleased with the latter or with the former? What would you like, sir? I asked him. Oh, I would definitely like to be. That is the meaning of hands that help are holier than lips that pray. When our Bhagavan says something, there is a lot of meaning behind it. He doesn't say empty words. Okay? Coming back to selfless service, the selfless service need not be only to human beings. You can do it to cattle, to beasts, to your dog. If you are very kind to your dog, then that itself is great seva. But you can also do it to human beings. Definitely we have to do it to human beings. And yet, human beings are so selfish. How many of you have traveled by plane? Just raise your hands. Quite a lot of people have traveled by plane. Okay. Now, let us say you entered the plane, and then you have a small handbag, which you could not put on the seat in front of you. So you went three seats behind and you put it. Okay? Now you have come, the plane has landed and you want to get that handbag back. How many people will allow you to go and take that? You know, there have been instances where I had to wait until the entire plane was empty and then I had to go and get my bag. Okay? Now this is where, as Sai devotees, we can play a simple role. Why not we say, sir, would you like to go? Can I get it for you? You don't bother, sir. Which is your bag? Is that one? I'll get it for you. Such a simple act of selfless seva can be done every day. I've worked abroad for a couple of years. And when I worked abroad, suppose there are two cars which are going and both have to go through one particular lane. They will immediately switch on the headlight, which means, please go. In India, if you put on the headlight, it means you stop, I am coming. You know, exact opposite. Okay? Can we not change that? Can we not say, please go? Another few seconds, is it going to hurt? These are all simple examples of selfless love. It's called as mindfulness. Being mindful of your brethren. I think this is what Bhagavan Baba would have wanted us to do. I'm a doctor. I prescribe a lot of vitamins to my patients. Okay, so if I ask you, which is the best vitamin? Is it A? Yes, very good for the eyes. Is it E? Yeah, for some skin and some things it's good. What about B? B12? Yeah, good for the nerves. Okay, so with all this, the best vitamin I'll tell you is vitamin L or vitamin love. And if you combine that with vitamin G, which is written in God, then you will be doing selfless seva. I just want to end by telling you that today we are on the eve of the 93rd birthday of our beloved Swami. Soon we will have the 95th birthday, and we look forward to the grand celebration of the 100th birthday. We all underestimate the power of Sai that we all hold in this very hall and within the organization. Now, the other day my grandson is telling me something, and he said, I finished my good deed for the day. So I said, what's this good deed? No, I'm supposed to do one good selfless deed every day. This is the Sai way, he said. So I said, oh, this is a great idea. It just struck me, if today there are 10,000 people either sitting here or watching this program, and if each one of us did 10,000 good deeds, that's 10,000 good deeds done today. If you multiply that by 365 days, it becomes 3.6 5 million good deeds done by Sai devotees. We don't know the exact number of Sai devotees, but assuming there are about 100 million Sai devotees, if each of one just did one good deed for the day, one selfless deed, that is 36.5 billion good deeds. Now, Swami has talked about Swarna Yuga, and when we think of Swarna Yuga, what do we think? The whole thing is going to become all gold here. Puttaparthi will become gold, the whole world will become gold. My Sai brothers and sisters, that is not what is Swarna Yuga. When we start doing the selfless deeds, if it becomes millions and billions, and if the Sai fraternity shows that, then and only then will the Sai Yuga, the Swarna Yuga, come on this earth. Finally, today we have several wings of our organization. We have the Central Trust, we have the state organization with international organization, we have the Mahila's wing, and we have many, many, we have the state trust, we have the state organization. We simply don't know the power of Sai if all this can be harnessed. My prayer to you, beloved Bhagavan, is that on the eve of your 93rd birthday, please bless all your organizations that they all come together to do selfless seva. Then and only then will the work started by you through your organizations last, not just until our lifetime, not until our children's lifetime, grandchildren's lifetime, or great-grandchildren's lifetime, but it will go on and on as long as there is a sun, or there is moon, or there are stars in the earth, or the earth itself. The Satya Sai organization and its selfless seva will go on. Jai Sai Ram.
Thank you so much, sir, for the wonderful words of wisdom founded on the message from Swami and supported by your personal experiences. I'm sure that each word of yours must have penetrated every individual that is seated here. The next dimension of living with Sai, the happy way. As we all know, brothers and sisters, Swami always wanted us to be happy, happy, and happy. But this is in fact a great challenge, especially when the situations turn out to be opposite to what we generally expect. Thus, this dimension needs to be understood properly. And it is my privilege to now invite Brother Ajit Popat, who has been named by Swami himself as the Sai puppet, and he doesn't need any introduction.
नमस्ते पुरुषाध्यक्षः नमस्ते भक्तवत्सलः नमस्ते साईनाथाय नमस्ते सत्यसाईने
सविनय सप्रेम सकुटुंब सहित अगणित साष्टांग दंडवत नमस्कारम प्रेम पूर्वक हृदय पूर्वक भक्ति भाव श्रद्धा एवं निष्ठा आस्था पूर्वक पुनः पुनः समर्पयामि. रिवियर एल्डर्स, माय बिलव्ड ब्रदर्स एंड सिस्टर्स, इट वाज संडे आफ्टरनून. स्वामी हैड very graciously had arranged for the tiffin in Kodaikanal. In Sai Shruti we had a wonderful chopati bhel. And Swami actually asked Satyajit, bache log kya kha raha hai? And Satyajit said, Baba, this is bhel. He said, Baba said, go and bring one katori, I will also eat bhel. Baba finished the bhel, you know, and then we sat down, and then Swami told the lead singers, jao baat karo, bhajan gao mein aata hun. I think only two bhajans were sung, and then Swami looked at me and gave me eye contact and he said, Puppet, come. This was in the public, you see, and then Swami, when I bowed down to him, he told me, turn around. So for a moment I was shaken. I said, what's the problem? So I said, Baba said, eh, turn around. Look at your amma and look at your sisters. Tumhari behen aur tumhari maa dekho kaise hai. They are all sitting there expecting few brothers to finish. And then they know that somebody will come and talk big, big things about spirituality and I and you are one and blah, blah, blah. And Puppet, you know, they are all sitting with castor oil faces. Hey, Puppet, baat kar. Main bola, Baba, kya bolun? First of all, it was a shock for me to turn around and see all my sisters, and I hope you are not sitting with castor oil. I'll make you laugh, don't worry. So, I just turned around and then Baba said, baat karo. I said, Baba, kya bolu? Like every puppet show. I got the shock of my life when he said, Mullah Nasruddin. I said, Baba, kya? Eh, eh, tere ko sunai deta hai kya? You got a hearing problem? Chah! Mullah Nasruddin, baat karo. Sabko hasao. So I did the invocation prayer which I just did now. And then I said, Baba, excuse me. And Baba said, kya baat hai? So Baba was sitting, now he is sitting, but there in Kodaikanal physically he was sitting much nearer. So I bowed down and I said, Baba, husband wife ko bhai joke bol do. So he looked at me and he said, ah, bol de. Bol de, bol de. So in a small town, there was a civil function which was arranged in the town hall. A couple had celebrated their 50th birthday, Golden Jubilee, and there was a small party by the well-wishers and the family members. The party was going on, there was a person like me, young, very handsome. He went down. That is true, isn't it? So, this young man goes to the old man and he says that, sir, you have been married with such beautiful wife for last 50 years. There must be a secret formula. Kind of share with me. So the man raised his feet like I'm doing right now and he looked around and his wife was not nearby and he said, okay, come, I'll tell you. He said, ours was a marriage which was arranged. I never met her before. During those days there was no dating system, there was no Facebook, you know, in any case. So, he said, I met her for the first time and then we got married and then as usual we went on a honeymoon. Baba looked at me. Kidhar gaya tha? Main bola, Baba, honeymoon. Achha, moon mein nahi gaya tha. Honey mein gaya tha, moon mein. So, this is, by the way, it is recorded. Huh? So, I'm not making it up, by the way. I'm telling you the gospel truth in front of Swami. So, they went for honeymoon. Now, next day morning, you know, when they went for a walk and then they had selected a beautiful hotel. Outside the hotel, all the khachar and ghodawala, they were standing there. And she was a very good rider. So, the moment she saw the horses, she got over the moon, you know, and said, hey, horses, I love riding. So she selected a chestnut horse, very beautiful horse. The horse was selected by her and the horse keeper was standing there and he said, Amma, I hope you are a very good rider because this horse, he's a very mischievous one, he's very difficult to control. Are you sure you want to ride this horse? She said, yeah, I'm going to do it. I've been riding horses for like long time. So our friend who was recently married and having the first honeymoon first day, He said, what am I supposed to do? He said, you run behind me. The rest of the life, in any case, you are going to do that. So, she sat on the horse, went about 50 yards. The horse was really very, very, mischievous. He stood on his two legs and she fell down. Despite all her proficiency and efficiency, she fell down. By the time our friend managed to reach there and he said, what happened? I hope you are all right. She said, this is the first time. This is the first time. She again mounted on the horse. This time, she showed her a caliber to ride very efficiently. She went another 100 yards. Our friend was running behind the useless horse. And by the time he went there, he was, ha, ha. And she found that she was already on the ground. The horse was standing on one side and looking at both of them. So she said, what happened to you? I hope, honey, you are all right. He said, this is the second time. She again mounted on the same horse, managed to then get into the different gear. She changed the gear and the horse started galloping. Went about 200 yards, our friend was gasping and for the air and he managed to reach there. And she was again off the ground. And she got up, she dusted herself, cleaned herself and she stood up. She opened her purse, took out a gun and shot him. The man just looked at it and he said, what have you done? He said, this is the last time. He said, after that I never ask anything in my life and that's how we are married for the last 50 years. This is the formula. You understand now? This is the reason why I have been married to this lady, because I never question her, because I know what happened when you ask her the last time. she will open her purse and you had it. I was going back to London. Swami called me in the inner room and Baba said, what time is your flight? What time is the reporting time? Perfect host. Very loving, tender loving mother. I gave him all the timings and all that, and he said that, hey puppet, be happy. So I said, Baba, it's very kind of you to bless me and I should be very happy. He said, yeah, I want to ask you one thing. What is the spelling of happy? You know, Brother Narendra Reddy, he gave a different formula, you know. I mean, this is a very high funda, you know. I am at a ground level, you know. So Swami asked me, what is the spelling of happy? I said, Baba, H-A-P-P-Y. He said, your English is good. Right. Swami said, H, be holy. A, be aware that I am aware. Be aware that I am aware. P, be patient. Mango will fall when it is ripe. You don't have to call for a gardener. You don't have to look for the ladder. You don't have to carry a stone and hit it. It's meant for you only. Mango will fall when it is ripe. H, A, P, patient. P, peaceful. Easy. Take the life as it happens. If the things go right, listen very carefully. If the things go right, it's beautiful. If things go wrong, it's wonderful. That is Sai Leela. We all talk about Sai Leela. Either vibhuti aa gaya, either ye aa gaya, or idhar aa gaya. Tu kahan gaya, bhai? Tu dekhta reh gaya na? Baitho. Kuchho. So, Baba said, why? Don't ask me why. Be a yogi. So I said, Baba, how to become yogi? I will come back to the subject. I was sitting here in the veranda. It was the first day of Gram Seva. Baba came and stood in front of me and he said, Puppet, you want to see God in action? I said, yeah. He said, you want to see love in action? I said, yes. He said, go with the boys, go for the Gram Seva. He just turned around, hardly had taken two steps and he came back. Hey, Chakravarti. So Chakravarti Garu was sitting there at his usual place and he came and he said, arrange an air-conditioned car for Puppet. Because Puppet is not used to going in the trucks. Puppet goes in a Mercedes car in London. Huh? So I said, Baba, I will go with the boys. Don't worry. Anyway, during those days, all the trucks used to be parked near the South Indian canteen, and Baba himself used to come to every truck and he used to break the coconut, and then he used to see us off near Gokulam. I was sitting with Bhagya sir in truck number 4. I managed to go for the Gram Seva. I didn't use the car. I came and sat down in the afternoon, and then Bhagwan came and he asked me, "Hey, puppet, tu Gram Seva mein gaya tha na?" Maine bola, "Baba, gaya tha na? Kaisa tha?" I said, "Baba, Anandam." Moment I said the word Anandam, he said, "Hey, andar ja." So he immediately took me inside. Normally, whenever he used to take me inside, he's a perfect host. So he will switch on the fan, he will switch on the light, and then he will sit in the chair, and then he will say, "Kucho." That day he was standing in the center of the room and he said, "Hey, puppet, bar kya bola tu tu? What did you say outside?" I said, "Baba, koi galti ho gaya kya? Tu bawal nahi tere ho, tu bar kya bola?" I said, "Baba, Anandam. Anandam, Brahmanandam, Paramanandam, Nityanandam, Akhandanandam, Atmanandam, Adbhutanandam, Ashcharyanandam, Advaitanandam, Satyanandam, now, Satchidanandam." Puppet, kya anand bolta hai? Chheh! Satchidanandam. It was the morning time, it was Thursday morning, I was again sitting in the veranda and Baba had not called anybody for the interview. I'm telling you very honestly and frankly, whenever Swami never called anybody from the ladies' side and came for the interview, I was very happy in a way that because I stood a chance to go inside. Because usually during those days, between the gap between the bhajan and darshan, Swami used to call me inside in the inner room and sometimes he used to just keep quiet and keep looking at me. And at times I used to become conscious. But then I got used to it. And then sometimes he will close his eyes and then I keep on looking at him and he was aware of it. And then immediately he will open his eyes and he will say, "Ah, kitna baja?" So I say, "Baba, bhajan start hone mein 10 minute baki hai. Eh, tum jao, bhaag jao, bhaag jao, bhaag jao." So he used to tell me, "Bhaag jao." And then I used to come back and then he will come and attend the bhajan and bless everybody and then go back. That day, same thing happened. He took me inside and then he said, "Kucho." And then he closed his eyes and I was looking at him. 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and he opened his eyes and he said, "Puppet, kya dekhta hai?" I said, "Baba, to you. What were you looking at?" I said, "You." He said, "Describe." I said, "Baba, avarnaniya. How can I describe with this tongue? What capabilities and what caliber do I have? Avarnaniya, avachaniya. I do not have the right words. Yato vacho nivartante apraapya manasasa." That's what the Shastra says. What this useless puppet can say? Avarnaniya, avachaniya, avismaraniya. The fact that I see you, I can never ever forget in my life. I may forget my name, like I have forgotten now. If anybody calls me Ajit Popat, I can look around and say, "Who the hell is this?" If they say Sai Popat, I say, "Ha, bolo, sahi baat hai. Baba, change my name so that I don't get crazy ideas that puppet is talking." No. I remember once, you know, I gave a very big talk in Trai Vrindavan, and then Baba told me, he was very happy, he was clapping, you know, "I will come back to Kodai that program, huh? By the way, I will come back. I haven't forgotten it. My memory is damn good. Anyway, yeah, I will come back with that marriage and Mullah Nasrul did part of it later. So, I gave a very nice talk, and then Baba asked me, "Hey, puppet, aaj tu bahut achha bolta hai, ha? Maza aa gaya." Maine bola, "Baba, aapne rassi bhi bahut achha khecha na? You were pulling the strings also." This is the only living master where his hand is not invisible, but in every respect, in every aspect of our life, we can feel, experience and know his visible hand. I remember I had come with a group. We were sitting in divine presence and Swami asked me, "Hey puppet, where is God?" I should have said that, "Baba, I'm sitting in front of God. Where is God means why?" But I said, "Baba, he's everywhere." He said, "How do you know?" So puppet is puppet, na? I said, "Baba, I know it." He said, "What did you say?" I said, "Baba, I know it. He's everywhere." He said, "Puppet, don't give stupid answer. Huh? Don't teach me God is everywhere. First feel it. First feel it. Then know it. Then experience it. Then realize it. What do you mean by saying that God is everywhere? Huh? It's a very vague thing. First feel it. Do you feel for it? Do you have that much of intensity? Swami told me once in Kodaikanal, he said, Papa, you always talk about Swami Vivekananda and Bhagavan Ramakrishna Paramahansa. When are you going to develop the intensity that Swami Vivekananda had for his master? When are you going today? Whom are you waiting for? You want Prime Minister to come and tell you or what? Persistency, consistency, equanimity. One day I was sitting with Swami and I said, Baba, your teachings are very simple. Love all, serve all, help ever, hurt never. So he said, Papad, my teachings are very simple because God is very simple. You are very complex. You've got superiority complex, you've got inferiority complex, you've got a complexion problem also. Fair and lovely. And then you have in fear complex also. Kya baat karta hai? God is very simple. You have got a problem. I said, Baba, pyar aur mohabbat se bas zindagi jeena hai. Zindagi ko jeene ke liye jhukna padega. Mushkile aayegi aane do. Sagar mein tufa ko uthne do. Hame rukna nahi, hame jhukna nahi. Kaam sahi ka hame karna hai. Mushkile aayegi aane do. Do we have this understanding? Are we ready for it? One day I was sitting with Swami in the inner room and Baba was telling me that, Puppet, for the sake of devotees I have told you that unity, purity and divinity. Lekin tu hai na, tu bahut badmash hai, bahut masti karta hai. For you I have to give you a different formula. Sai Kutir mein, when you climb up and come to my meditation room in London, how many steps are there? So we have a spiral staircase in Sai Kutir, and there are 14 steps. So Swami said, count. Simplicity, humility, nobility, sincerity, honesty, loyalty, integrity, intensity, persistency, consistency, equanimity, unity, purity, divinity. And then finally Baba very mischievously said, and all this without any publicity. Koi publicity nahi hai. Bacche log kaam karte hain. Thousands and hundreds and thousands of people are given prasadam. There is no publicity. Super speciality, heart operation, raat din chalta hai. I remember once, actually I was there when the hospital was inaugurated. I had come with a group. I was sitting with Swami in the interview room and Baba asked me, Papa, did you go and see the hospital? I said, Baba, I went to your hospital. He immediately, as if he got a 250-volt shock, he said, what did he say? I said, Baba, I went to your hospital. I did go along with the boys. He said, Puppet, say again, what did you say? I said, Baba, I went to your hospital and I saw it. He said, is it my hospital? Che, 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 kaadu, buddhi ledu, che. It is our hospital. That hospital belongs to me and you. This Prashanti Nilayam belongs to us. I'm taking the liberty of saying that Satya Sai Central Trust has been formed by Baba only as a custodian. This place belongs to Puppet and all of you. This is the fact of life. If somebody has not told you, he's living in fool's paradise. This place belongs to me. My Baba is my Baba. He's everybody's Baba. Mera Baba. Pyara Baba. Sabka Baba. Lekin mera Baba hai. Ye mera hai. That ekatvam iti samatvam. I'm reciting and giving the high philosophy what Swami once explained to me. Ekatvam iti samatvam. Samatvam iti sarvatvam. Sarvatvam iti satyatvam. Satyatvam iti saitvam. Saitvam iti brahmatvam. What fluency. What authenticity. This is our loving master. Let's go back to Kodaikanal. So, I told you about the last time joke. Unfortunately, I normally go to sleep up to by around 10 o'clock in the night. So I can continue up to 10 o'clock in the night. But Nimish Bhai will go to sleep here only. And then he will also fire me because I have been given only limited time. I have time, no? I saved your time, isn't it? I didn't allow you to introduce myself. So I saved 3 minutes, I will take 3 minutes more. Right. So don't look at the watch. I'm looking at here. Brothers and sisters, living with Swami happy, happy, happy is an amazing thing. Mind blowing. Just to make the atmosphere very simple and very amicable to one and all, Swami, of all the philosophical subjects that he has got in his storeroom and in his storehouse, he said, Pappad, Mulla Nasruddin ki baat karo. There is one particular joke, I will say it very quickly because I do not want to, you know, exceed the limit and get firing afterwards. If Baba would have been there, he would have told me, Pappad, continue. Kal baat karenge, aaj bhi karo. Anyway, times have changed. Well, we have to respect the time, otherwise time will not respect you. That's what Swami once told me. Anyway, so there is one particular joke, Baba loved it very much. Mulla Nasruddin had a very great friend. His friend was his donkey. He always used to go for a morning walk. Donkey used to be there. When he used to go for the namaz, the donkey will be there. When he used to go to Sunday market, the donkey will be there to carry the burden. It so happened that somehow that the donkey got lost. Mulla was very, very miserable, you know, as if he has lost his wife only. But he didn't have the courage to tell Begum, you know. Otherwise, he would have known that he would not get food. So, he was very restless. He was very agitating and he was full of anxiousness. He was telling each and every person at the mall, hey, tumne mera ghode ko dekha, tumne mera gadhe ko dekha, are baba nahi dekha baba. So then he said that anybody who will find my donkey, my dearest friend, is my family member, is more than my family member, I will give a price. So a person like me, you know, who was very greedy, he went and told him that, acha, how much you are going to give? He said, pehle dhoondh ke lao, first go and bring him. So they were searching for him all over the place. 3 days passed, nothing happened. Every day he was increasing the price. I will give you 50 dinar. Then he said, I will give you 150 dinar. He said, pura mahine ka mere ko jo kuch milta hai, tere ko de dega. Bas, I will do roza. Chalo, koi baat nahi. But, kam se kam, usko pakad ke le aake aao. One fine morning, there was a knock on the door and he found that the donkey, his greatest friend, was standing there. Ah, tu aa gaya, mera bhai, kidhar sara chala gaya tha. And he was running and he was crying. And the person came from behind and he said, sir, I found it. I said, yaar, tu kamal ka aadmi hai. Kahan se pakad ke leke aaya? Main to thak gaya tha. Bolta hai, mulla, mera inaam kidhar hai? Where is my prize? He said, you have done such a great favor to me. Ye gadha tu le hi ja. When I said this joke, Baba said, hey, puppet. He told me in the inner room later on. He said, puppet, main bhi aisa hi karta hu na. Mere paas jo bhi aata hai, I'm always giving, 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 giving. There is so much of joy in giving than in grabbing. Huh? One day Swami told me, Puppet, purify your vision. Clarify your thoughts. Verify your action. Solidify your sadhana. And simplify, simplify, simplify your life. Baba was talking to me about selling on desire. He said, you go to the mall, you see a beautiful object in the showcase, and you said, ah, this is made in China, but it's very good. I would love to have it. So you ask yourself, do I want it? If the answer is say yes, then he said, go to the next question. Can I afford it? Do I have the required money? If the answer is yes, go to the third question. Can I live without it? Can I live without it? If the answer is yes, Baba said, don't buy it. Sealing on desire ho gaya na apne aap. For that you don't require a professor to come and teach you. Can you? It was Sunday morning in Kodaikanal. After the morning darshan, we all were sitting there. We had lunch with Baba. Baba asked V. Srinivasan, our ex-revered, respected All India president. And he said, Srinivas, what is the program for the boys? So he said, Baba, whatever you say, Swami, as per your will, I'll make it very quick, don't worry. So, because I'm looking at him also. So, Baba said, let everybody go for shopping. So, Baba had already made up his mind, so he had made the preparation. He told Ruchir Desai and Satyaji, hey, bring. So, Baba had made the envelope. Each envelope had a 500 rupee note. And Baba was, he knew everybody, of course he knows everything. He doesn't say so in so many words, but he makes you feel that. That is his nobility and sincerity and love. Anyway, so he called everybody by name and gave 500 rupees and he said, go for shopping. Hey, Ramani, arrange for the buses and everything. Finally, Swami looked at me and said, hey, puppet, come. Tu bhi ja shopping ke liye. My home minister was also there at that time. Both of us were there. The home minister was not sitting in that session. She was waiting for me. So, Baba gave me the envelope and Baba said, tu bhi jana, huh? So, cars and buses were arranged and all the boys went. I didn't go for the shopping. I came back to my home minister, who is also my finance minister and communication minister, because nowadays mobile is with her. No? So, she had been promoted. She's holding 3 portfolio. Somebody asked me, who are you? I said, I'm minister without portfolio. So, I said, okay, don't worry. So, Baba, in the afternoon, we all came back for the afternoon session. And Swami asked the boys who were sitting in the front, huh, what did you buy? So he said, Baba, I brought a beautiful statue. It was the statue of Meera. Baba said, Pagal hai kya? Meera is sitting in my heart and you are bringing statue for me. Keep it with you. Then he called another boy, huh, tu kya leke aaya? So he showed a beautiful sari to Baba. So Baba looked at the sari and he said, how much did you pay for it? He said, Baba, I paid nearly 800 rupees. He said, from where did you get the balance money? I gave you only 500, isn't it? He said, Baba, I had saved some money for, because Mama and Papa, they are having their 25th wedding anniversary, so I want to give it to Mama. A good boy, good boy. Like that, he went on with everybody, and then finally, the lightning had to be fall. So he called, said, he said, Papa, come. What did you buy? I said, Baba, I didn't go for shopping. Hey, you didn't go for shopping? I told you to go for shopping, didn't I? I said, Baba, dil nahi laga. So, tu kahan gaya tha kahan? What were you doing? I said, I was sitting with my home minister. Acha? Usko leke jana tha na saath mein. You should have gone with her, na? What a romantic opportunity you lost. Tu kya karta hai? Che? Acha, mera paisa kidhar hai? Where is my 500 rupees? I said, Baba, paisa? Paisa nahi milega. Wo to de diya na, khatam ho gaya. That 500 rupee note is still with me. Huh? That is his love. Kya shopping karne ka hai? Today is a very auspicious day. It's time to do prayer. And close it. I know. He knows better than me. He pulls the string. You see, you are only showing the figure. Sign language is far more superior than superior of filling the string of the master. So it's time to pray. Today is a very auspicious day. Today is the Eid Milad. It is the holiest birthday of Prophet Muhammad, peace be on him. In Shirdi, when Baba was there, on every function, on Eid, on Muharram, in Eid and Milad, like today, he always used to tell Abdul Baba, Abdul, Al-Fatiha Padna. I don't know how many times Swami has told me in interview room and here in the portico, Papad baat karna, akhir mein, last mein, Al-Fatiha Padna. Toh main aaj Al-Fatiha Padta hoon. I dedicate the Lord behind lotus feet of my beloved Bhagwan, on behalf of each and every one of you, sharan leta hu main apne Allah ki. Sharan leta hu main apne Allah ki papatma shaitano se bachne ke liye al-fatiha. Pehle naam leta hu tera, jo nihayat rahm wala meherban hai. Sare jahan ki bandagi malik ke munasib hai, sare jahan ka palne poshne wala udharak, param kripalu param dayalu to tu hi hai. Chukoti ke din ka tu hi malik hai, paap aur punya ka phal ka dene ka waqt tere adheen hai. Hum teri ibadat karte hain. Allah, Alhamdulillah, Allah, Alhamdulillah, Allah, Akbar, Alhamdulillah. Tujhi se ibadat karta hun ki le chalo hume seedhi raah un logon ki raah jis par teri nazre inayat hai un logon ki kabhi nahi kisi halat mein nahi kisi surat mein nahi kisi wajah se nahi jo teri raah se gumrah hai jisse tu khafa hai. Allah malik hai. I am repeating what Swami told me, the entire essence of Holy Quran in 5 sentences. Holy Quran, written by Ibrahim and also commented by the learned scholars. If you look at the Holy Quran, it is more than 1080 pages. Right? Swami summarized the entire Holy Quran. Recently, Bhagwan sent me to Calcutta and there the Imam, the chief Imam of Calcutta Mosque, Juma Mosque, was there and I recited the same thing, and afterwards I asked him and he said, how did you summarize the entire Holy Quran? I said, credit goes to my Bhagwan Baba. Allah Malik hai. Allah sab janta hai. Allah ki jankari sabse behtareen hai. Allah miya jaise rakhenge, jahan rakhenge, jis hal mein rakhenge, waise rahenge. Koi shikwa nahi hai. Koi faryad nahi hai. Koi mayus nahi hai. Allah se sirf ek hi dua hai. Ek hi bandagi hai. Baba, apne bachcho pe rahm karo. अपने बच्चों पर रहम करो, हमें अपनी पनाहों में ले लो, हमें अपने आंचल में छुपा लो, हम पे नजरे इनायत कर लो. आह, अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह. सर्ववस्तु समर्पयामि तु सर्वेश्वरा, सच्चिदानंद स्वरूपा, सर्वांतर्यामी स्वरूपा, सत्य धर्म शांति प्रेम स्वरूपा अवतारा, सत्यम शिवम सुंदरम अवतारा, सर्व देवता अवतारा, शिव शक्ति स्वरूप अवतारा, सर्व देवता अवतारा, सर्वशक्ति स्वरूप अवतारा, सर्व मंत्र तंत्र यंत्र स्वरूप अवतारा, सद्गुरु देवगुरु जगतगुरु श्री सच्चिदानंद स्वरूप श्री साईनाथ महाराज आए. इति श्री बुधवारे इदे मिलाद महोत्सव प्रसंगे प्रशांति निलय मंदिर संध्या काले सब विनय सब प्रेम सब कुटुंब सहित शिव पूजा दिन निमित्त साई लिंगम सर्वलिंगम दिव्यलिंगम पवित्रलिंगम भव्यलिंगम तेजस्वी लिंगम महान लिंगम आत्मलिंगम ज्योतिर्लिंगम मृत्युंजयाय लिंगम पूजार्थे सब विनय सब प्रेम सब विनय कोटि कोटि साष्टांग नमस्कार समर्पयामि. जय बोलो भगवान श्री सत्य साई बाबा जी की. सत्य साई सेंट्रल ट्रस्ट आउट ऑफ लव एंड डिवोशन एट द लोटस फीट have arranged free meals for every one of us. You all had lunch. You all are assured about the dinner. Raat ko bhi kal khana khaya tha na? Dam nahi hai kya? Jai bolo Bhagwan ji, Satya Sai Baba ji ki. Maza aaya lekin itna nahi aaya. Haan? Chalo, ek baar last time karte hain. Baba ko jagate hain. Wo sota nahi hai. Humko sulata hai. जय बोलो भगवान श्री सत्य साई बाबा जी के. जय. तो पहले क्यों नहीं बोला है?
तालियों की गड़गड़ाहट से हम सभी को यह विश्वास हो गया है कि साई पपट के अविश्लेषणीय वचनों ने हमारे हृदय में ऐसे खुशियों की तरंगों को पैदा किया है जो कि आज नहीं अनंत काल तक बजती रहेगी बजती रहेगी बजती रहेगी. स्वामी ने किया. इस दिस एनर्जाइज्ड एनवायरनमेंट सिंबलाइजेस अनदर डायमेंशन ऑफ लिविंग विथ श्री सत्य साई एंड दैट इज द यूथफुल वे. एंड विदाउट वेस्टिंग एनी टाइम आई नाउ रिक्वेस्ट आवर ब्रदर विनय कुमार to energize all of us with the divine guidance on this important dimension. Brother Vinay Kumar is the convener of the Vrindavan Management Committee and a trustee of the Sri Satya Sai Trust, Karnataka. He is a renowned chartered accountant by profession and a member of several professional bodies. An eager spiritual aspirant, Brother Vinay Kumar has had the rare privilege of having been directly guided by Swami himself at innumerable occasions. Brother Vinay Kumar.
myself with utmost humility and love at the divine lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan. I extend a very warm and loving Sai Ram to each one of you all. It is the rarest of privilege and the merit from several births that has made it possible for each one of us to be seated here this evening at his lotus feet in this magnificent hall, every inch of which has been hallowed by Bhagwan's divine lotus feet. Several decades ago, Bhagwan had mentioned to a senior devotee, not even an ant can enter the sacred precincts of Prashanti Nilayam without his divine sankalpa. Brothers and sisters, just imagine how fortunate are each one of us that each one of us actually figured in Bhagwan's thoughts this evening and are here only due to his divine will. That in itself is an immense blessing that has been conferred on each one of us. Sarva rupa dharam shantam, sarva nama dharam shivam, satchidananda rupa advaitam, satyam shivam sundaram. Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai is the supreme embodiment of all the known forms and names of divinity. Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai is sat chit ananda, being, awareness and bliss. Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai is satyam, shivam and sundaram, truth, oneness and beauty. Living with Sri Satya Sai is therefore true living. Most other forms of living can at most be termed as a mere existence. In a living with Sri Satya Sai, we come, we learn, we experience, and finally we yearn to only attain Him. In every other form of living, we probably just come, exist, and then perish. The youthful way of living with Sri Satya Sai is not just about fun and frolic and games and celebrations. It is more about selfless service, personal sadhana, and a huge internal transformation. The youthful way of living with Sri Satya Sai is certainly not a mundane exercise about the pursuit of the senseless sensual pleasures. Once when we asked Swami, how do we control our senses, Swami? He simply said, live with Sai and your senses will fly. Adi Shankaracharya in the Bhaja Govindam asked man, Tarunasthava Taruni Saktaha Pare Brahmani Kopina Saktaha. O man, you have frittered away your entire youth in the pursuit of sensual pleasures. When will you turn Godhead and attain the lotus feet of the Lord? Bhagavan Sri Satya Sai Baba, our Bhagavan in this Kali Yuga, has given the answer to Adi Shankaracharya when he said, live with Sai and your senses will fly. The youth all over the world are an extremely blessed lot. They are singularly fortunate to have received Bhagwan's immense compassion, his guidance and his benevolence on numerous occasions. Bhagwan has been extremely indulgent in the eccentricities, the exuberance and the enthusiasm of the youth, largely characterized by the vagaries of the modern day living. Bhagwan is in his interactions with the youth, whether it was on an individual basis, whether it was in groups, or it was in a vast gathering like this, never ever lost an opportunity to instill the highest truths as were enshrined in our scriptures. Bhagwan's interactions with the youth in the several years that I was privileged to be a part of the youth wing of the Satya Sai Seva organizations, I have always observed that in his several interactions with the youth, it may externally seem as something very casual, and Bhagwan would even come down to the level of the youth's playful pranks, but the underlying tone of every interaction was truly and truly embedded in the highest levels of spirituality. Every interaction with Bhagwan was suffused with immense spiritual knowledge. In one such interaction which we had with Swami here in Prashanti Nilayam, we asked Swami, what should the youth do to become your most worthy and effective instruments, Bhagwan? Swami indulged in us beyond measure that afternoon and patiently gave us 5 divine commandments. Brothers and sisters, I wish to call these five divine commandments as the Panchakshara mantras for the youth of today. We all know the great Panchakshara mantra, Om Namah Shivaya, is the most potent form of prayer for the Supreme Lord Ishvara. This Panchakshari mantra given by Bhagwan in the form of these five divine commandments is given by our own Saishwara to redeem the lives of not just the youth, but entire humanity in general. The first divine commandment given by Bhagwan, serve the society in which you belong, not just with passion, but with an intense feeling of compassion. Swami explained and he said, compassion is an emotion which is far greater than love. Because compassion emanates from the innermost recesses of the heart and is suffused with the divine effulgence. Who can be a greater example of compassion than our dear Bhagwan himself? The youth of Bangalore had adopted a village 30-40 kilometers away from Bangalore city in the year 2001. With Bhagwan's blessings, we would go there every Sunday and engage in a number of activities. In the year 2006, suddenly these activities came to a standstill because the whole village was ravaged by the epidemic of chikungunya. Chikungunya is an epidemic which is caused due to a certain insect and that can cause a crippling of the bones in the body. The whole village was ravaged. There was untold suffering. Young and old, everybody were going through pain. We tried to get them all the medical care that we could, but at one point we were helpless. In that helpless state, we rushed to Prashanti Nilayam and were extremely fortunate to be given an audience with Bhagwan. We put forth the prayer to Bhagwan about the plight of these villagers. Brothers and sisters, I must tell you, the moment we mentioned this to Swami, the entire facial expression on him changed. We could feel Swami going through the agony and the suffering of those villagers. Swami was living through the pain that every villager was going through. In a deep voice he said, the villager should not suffer. It is not correct for them to go through this suffering. And he materialized a lot of vibhuti and gave us a lot of vibhuti packets with an instruction to rush to the village directly from Prashanti Nilayam. And he said, go and spread this vibhuti on the outskirts of the village border and also mix it with water and make them drink it immediately. He said, go and tell the villagers that I am with them and will get them rid of this suffering. As per Bhagwan's command, we rushed from Prashanti Nilayam straight to the village in Bangalore and we gave this happy news to the villagers that Swami had exercised his infinite compassion for them. The vibhuti was spread on the outskirts of the village with the help of the villagers and a lot of them were made to drink the water with the vibhuti in it. Brothers and sisters, in just 4 days, the entire epidemic started withdrawing from the village. All the villagers felt a great sense of relief. All those villagers who were crippled with bone pain felt tremendous joy and happiness at being relieved from this sickness. We came back to Prashanti Nilayam with the villagers. We were seated here. And Swami, as he came near us, we got up and said, Swami, with your mercy and love, the villagers are cured of this epidemic. Swami simply smiled and moved on because he was actually trying to teach us a lesson in compassion. It was not the vibhuti which worked, brothers and sisters. It was that infinite compassion of the Lord which had done its work. This is the height of compassion which Swami wanted us to practice. That is the only way that we can be called as his worthy instruments. The second divine commandment given by Bhagwan was, plan every activity in detail and with utmost perfection. I would like to narrate a bit of a hilarious incident here, which happened between Bhagwan and me, right here in Prashanti Nilayam. The larger purpose of this incident was for Swami to drive home the heights of perfection that he expected from us in our everyday life. Swami had permitted us to coordinate a major event in Prashantilalem in the year 2006. And in that connection, we had to keep getting papers to show it to Swami for approval on and off. Each time I would get these papers in folders, in small files, and hold them in my hand and be seated there awaiting Bhagwan's guidance. One afternoon, Swami called me and said, "Why are you bringing the papers like this in loose covers and loose folders? This is not the way to carry papers." And mercifully, he gifted me with a beautiful brown leather bag, a small briefcase. And he said, "In future, when you come, you always keep the papers in this leather case and only then you bring it." The next time I came to Prashantinilayam with all these papers in this leather case, I was feeling very uncomfortable, because how do you go to Bhagwan with a leather case in your hand? You're not going to the office. So I actually held that leather bag like this. And I came and sat down. And Swami, the moment he came, he ushered me in. And the moment I went in, Bhagwan was very angry. He said, "Is that the way to hold the bag? You are looking like a marriage broker." He said, "This is not the way to hold the bag. You bring the bag here." Then he opened the bag. And then he said, "You have bundled the bag with all kinds of papers. This is not the way to keep the papers." He removed all the papers out, and there were different compartments in the bag. He said, "The most important papers has to be in the largest compartment." There was a small pouch. He said, "Your money should be kept within that pouch," which had a small lock. Then he said, "Within the zip, you can keep your photographs, because that should not get soiled." And then he showed me how to close the bag and lock the bag. And then he said, "Now you hold the bag and walk in front of me." And that was a rare blessing, but very painful indeed. I was walking for almost 20 minutes, brothers and sisters, up and down in the interview room, and Bhagwan was busy reading his letters. And occasionally he would say, "Hey, head up. Hey, shoulder straight." And then he said, "When you hold the bag, this is the mercy of the Lord. I don't think in any yuga an avatar would have come back and instilled teachings in perfection to this extent." He said, "When you hold the bag in your hand, your head should be held high. You should walk with a certain dignity. You cannot walk with your shoulders crouched." He said, "The bag should be kept straight and you should be confident when you are walking." He said, "Walk again." And he made me walk. And after that, each time I would come here, I would come with that bag. And every time Swami would call me, he would was more particularly watching the way I was walking with that bag. This is the height of perfection that he expected from us in every activity. The third divine commandment which Swami gave was annihilate ego. He said any spiritual activity which was suffused with ego should not be pursued at all. Anga, artha and adhikara can be easily attained. Beauty, wealth and authority. But to receive anugraha, you must give up ahankara. In one of the interviews which we had as a samiti with Swami, he asked us about the activities in the village. And we said, "Bhagwan, please fill the villagers with your divine ananda." And Swami said, "I will fill y'all with ananda. You go and empty all the ananda on the villagers. Each time you come back to me, if you have not emptied yourself, I have nothing to fill you up with." He said, "Each time you come to me as a plain white paper so I can keep writing on you. Each time you come to me as an empty vessel. And the only way you can come as an empty vessel is when you give up this ego from you." He said, "Where there is ego, there is no place for you with me." Annihilation of ego was the third divine commandment. The fourth beautiful commandment which Bhagwan gave was purify yourself. Bhagwan patiently explained how the human body has these five koshas: the Annamaya kosha, the Pranamaya kosha, the Manomaya kosha, the Vijnanamaya kosha, and the Anandamaya kosha. And then he said, all these five koshas are integrated and kept in balance due to the Chaitanya Purusha who is seated in the Chaitanya Guha, and he pointed to the right side of his chest. Bhagavan said, when the Chaitanya Purusha himself is seated within you, imagine the level of purity you should have in you to behold him within you. And to amplify this incident further, brothers and sisters, Swami gave a beautiful experience. When Bhagwan had permitted us to coordinate an event here, that afternoon, a few hours before the event was to start, he summoned me to the residence. And after inquiring about the program, he said, "Are you ready?" And I said, "Swami, the teams are all ready and we will wait for your arrival before we start." He again asked, "Are you ready?" And in my sheer ignorance, I said, "Swami, the shirt and the trouser is soiled. I will go to the room and get ready and come." Bhagwan smiled, blessed, and asked me to leave. A few days after that, when we were fortunate to be seated at his lotus feet, Swami continued this conversation from where he had left off. And he said, "That day when I asked you, are you ready? I didn't mean about your physical readiness or your readiness to start the program. The state of readiness I was talking about is the state in which you are willing to give up everything to attain the Supreme Self." I was taken aback when Swami said this. Swami went on to say, "Yava kshanadallu pranavannu kodakke tayaragirbeku." This was in Kannada. What it literally meant was, at any moment you should be willing to give up your life. That is the state of readiness he expected us to be in, brothers and sisters. He said, why this attachment to this body? One day this body is anyway going to fritter away and fall. It is after all a water bubble which will merge itself in the vast expanse of the ocean. This water, this body is just a temporary existence. You have to be focused on the permanence. The permanence is the dehi and not the deha. And that permanence can come only when you have continuous daiva chintana within you. He said, only when this level of body detachment comes, that the purity will emanate in the body, and then you are capable of beholding the Chaitanya Purusha within you. This is the level of purity he expected from us. The fifth commandment given by Bhagwan was, never ever forget the existence of God. For this, Swami gave a beautiful analogy. He said, initially there was the Purusha, then came the Vedas, then came the Yajnas, then came the rainfall, then came water, followed by food, and finally man. But he said, look at the irony today. Man is striving with hunger. And this is only because there is complete Veda Glani. Veda Glani is abhorrence for the Vedas. There is Nishiddha Karma, karma which is completely steeped in sinful acts. And he said, above everything, the greatest sin that is being committed by man today is he's forgetting and questioning the very existence of God. Brothers and sisters, it is not just the existence of God that we are forgetting. Today we are running hither and thither in search of God and getting attracted by people who profess to be the mediums of God, when there can be only one divine, and that divine is right here in Prashanti Nilayam. To further amplify this, typical of Swami, he didn't leave it just there. He followed it up with a beautiful experience. And to drive home this experience, he used those wonderful handkerchiefs. I must take an extra moment here to dwell on the extent of jealousy and envy which I have for those kerchiefs. Each time I look at those kerchiefs, I'm so envious of them. How fortunate are these handkerchiefs, which get caressed so beautifully in their sojourn across the moon-like face of Sri Satya Sai. They are in closest contact with him every time, each time. It was these kerchiefs which were on the two armrests of his chair when we were fortunate to be seated at his lotus feet. And Swami playfully pushed the kerchief which was on the left armrest down. I was seated on the right side of the chair. And the moment this kerchief fell down, I jumped forward to grab it. Anything that is used by Bhagwan is the greatest treasure for us, and to behold it in our hands is probably the only object that we have. With that feeling, I literally went to grab the kerchief. Swami immediately slapped my fingers and he chided me and said, "Hey, you cannot jump and grab the kerchief like that. If somebody grabs you like that, how will you feel? There is prana shakti even in the kerchief." He said, "The kerchief will get hurt if you grab it like that. You must hold the kerchief gently and place it on the armrest of the chair. That is your duty. Never forget the existence of God in everything and anything that is around you." This was the greatest teaching, brothers and sisters. Today the youth are fraught with aggression. Bhagwan taught us to become gentle. He never said don't be assertive, but he abhorred aggression. The youthful way of living with Sri Satyasai, therefore, is a magnificent bond of oneness between Sri Satyasai and his youth. Once we had a youth meet in Bangalore, and at the end of the youth meet, Swami blessed all of us by giving us an opportunity to have his Pada Namaskar. When my turn came to touch his holy feet, I went up on my knees and I said, "Thank you, Swami." And you know what Bhagwan retorted back? He said, "Taige thanksa," which meant, "You will thank your own mother?" To this wonderful Swami, to this mother, to this father, to our eternal friend, guide, philosopher, eternal teacher, and our only refuge, brothers and sisters, let us today offer ourselves to him and pray to him and worship him by bathing his divine lotus feet with the tears of joy, by besmearing his wonderful form with the sandal paste of pure love, by clothing him with the cloth of pure faith and tying the waistband of bhakti around him, by offering the flower of our sattvic emotions and the fruit of our concentrated mind to him. Let us place our neck on his toes and kiss his holy feet in absolute surrender. Let us wave the fan of steadfast devotion to ward off the heat of this mundane existence. Let us fold our hands and pray to him, "O Sai, please introvert our minds. Please turn us inward in our journey to thee. Please use us, Bhagwan, as your most worthy and effective instruments in your divine mission till the very last drop of blood and the last breath in our bodies. Please keep us eternally fastened to your divine lotus feet, Swami, with unshakable faith. For we came from you, Swami, only to become one with you for now and forever." Jai Sai Ram.
Thank you, Brother Vinay, for those 5 divine commandments for youth given by Bhagwan himself. Brothers and sisters, we have reached the conclusion of this 2-day conference, and I now invite our respected All India President Sri Nimish Pandya to deliver the concluding remarks.
Sai Ram. indeed very grateful to the Divine Master for these two wonderful days in His benign grace and blessings that all of us have spent in Prashanti Nilayam. Indeed, all the speakers and all the participants who have shared their thoughts as the instrument of the divine have really focused all of us onto our true path and the true goal. Once a master was pestered by his disciple to give him some work by which he would progress on the path of spirituality. And the master gave him a very innocuous job. He said, there is a big boulder in the middle of the road, and all I want you to do is go and push this boulder. Obedient as a student, the disciple embarked upon the job, and every day, morning and evening, he would stand there and push this whole boulder. He would keep on pushing, but the boulder was very huge and it wouldn't move. But he presumed that the master has asked him to push the boulder, and therefore he kept on pushing the boulder. A day went by, a second day went by, a third day went by. And people passing down the road would jeer and cheer at this guy and say, why are you pushing this boulder for 3 days? Nothing is happening. But remembering the master's command, he ignored the people's chiding and kept on pushing. But as the days went by and the passers-by started ridiculing him, he started doubting in his mind that really, am I doing a very stupid thing by pushing this boulder which has not moved at all? So he went to the master and asked the question, Master, people are chiding me that you're pushing this boulder and it's not moving, and why are you pushing it? Why did you ask me to do such a stupid thing as pushing this boulder and make a ridicule, sort of let the world ridicule me? The master said, Son, I told you to push the boulder. I never told you that when you push the boulder will move. And see what has happened to you in the last 1 month that you've been pushing the boulder may not have moved, but you have become stronger as a human being in your own self. Dear brothers and sisters, the whole path of sadhana is like that. The nine points of code of conduct, the various sadhanas that we've seen in the last 2 days, as we embark upon it, there is a time when the mind tells you that you are funny, don't do this, why are you doing this? But one has to consistently and persistently go ahead with this sadhana and this various facets that Bhagavan has given us with full faith. Because ostensibly, nothing may be seen to be moving, but internally, our relationship with God keeps on strengthening and strengthening as we go further. As we end the 2-day conference, brothers and sisters, one thing is very clear, that there is only one master, and that is Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. There is no other master on the face of this earth. And this Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba is nowhere outside. Is always inside. I want to echo Brother Vinay's thought. There's only one master and there is nowhere else to look. There may be duplicates, there may be any others. None of us should be deterred by our focus on that master who is within us. We must remember that the master within us is hell-bent on giving us the self-confidence that will give us the self-satisfaction, which will give us the courage to self-sacrifice and realize what ultimately he wants us to realize. There are traits that we have seen in the last 2 days that a devotee must develop. He must always be happy. Never be depressed. Don't be sensitive at the comments and criticism of other people. Don't mortgage your happiness to anyone. Because happiness is your birthright and my birthright, granted as a grace by Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. It's only when you mortgage this happiness to somebody else that sorrow comes. If you mortgage my happiness to my wife and the wife doesn't keep up to that, I'm unhappy. Similarly, on the other side, the wife is unhappy because she has mortgaged the happiness to the husband. The employer has mortgaged his happiness to the employee, and there is unhappiness. Never mortgage your happiness to anybody, because happiness is a source of self-confidence, and that's what keeps us as an anchor in the journey of life. And this is what Swami was saying. That in fact is many, many ways Swami has said that you and I are one, your relationship with me. I remember an incident in the interview room, where on one side there is a marriage ceremony, on the other side there is the death anniversary for another person. On the one side, Swami is telling the couple, there is a lovely journey, live together, united. On the other hand, the husband is dead, and Swami is telling the wife, why are you worried? Who was he before you married him? Who is he after he is dead? There is no relationship, there is only one relationship, and that is you and I, and the only friend is God within you. This in many, many ways describes the focus that Bhagavan wants us to have in life. At the end of 2 days, the Sri Satya Sai Seva organization is definitely committed to follow this path. We are bound by the charter of the organization. Every devotee, the Satya Sai organization is a very unique organization. Any human being anywhere in the world, moment he or she decides that she wants to follow the path of the 9 points of code of conduct and live with Sri Satya Sai, he or she automatically is a member of the Sri Satya Sai Seva organization anywhere in the world. The only commitment is to follow the inward path. And therefore, this organization is a very unique organization. It is one of the biggest organizations on the face of this earth. The amount of volunteerism that happens in this organization, mankind has never seen anywhere at any point of time, and that is the greatness of the Sri Satya Sai Seva organization. Imagine, no registration, simple rules and regulations, volunteerism, and only commitment to Bhagavan himself. Such a unique structure of an organization, never before. And blessed by the name of the Divine Master himself. And therefore, as we go further from here today, and as the members of the Sri Satya Sai organizations go back to their various areas, we are definitely committed to do one thing. We want to introspect over the next 3 months at the various samiti levels. Ruminate on all the thoughts that have come here and make our own action plan to improve ourselves and become instruments of inspiration to society. We want to break our molds of the small Sai family. There is nothing like a Sai family. Every human being is a part of the Sai family. Every human being, every man, every woman, every child, wherever he or she is a part of our family. And we want to expand this love through personal sadhana. We want to reiterate that service from today is exactly what Bhagavan wants us to do. And that is realizing ourselves and ensuring that we improve ourselves with every act of service. Seva in the Sai organization is not restricted to what we do in the samiti. It starts from the personal level, to the family, and then to society, and then to the nation. We don't want to be people that we don't serve our family, and we step out in the world and serve the world. That is not what's going to make Bhagavan happy. There is a sense of service to us, to our own selves, to our own families. If we cannot make our families happy, we have no right to go out in society and pose that we are making society happy. Brothers and sisters, only happy people can make people happy. Sad people can never make people happy is a maxim that Bhagavan has told us. Bhagavan was an embodiment of happiness, and in his presence, all of us felt happy. And that is what we need to extend. The Sai organization, in order to help the devotees and the volunteers and the members who are actively involved in the process, we have now identified 5 steady literature books on the various aspects of sadhana. There's a book called The Essence, which will now crystallize the main ethos of the Sai organization. Then there is a standardized book on Jyoti meditation. Then there is a book on the Satya Sai Suprabhatam, which we lovingly recited today morning, and we do that every morning in Prashanti Nilayam. A symbolization not of awakening Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba, but awakening the spirit of Bhagwan within ourselves every morning. Then bhajans, the Naam Smaran movement we saw was a tremendous powerhouse, and which is the hallmark of the Sai organization. The Sai organization lays its roots in any corner of the world. It begins with bhajans. And bhajans is a very important dimension of the Sai organization. And therefore, the guidebook on bhajans is going to be a standardized book. There is also the guidebook on study circles, because satsang is a very, very important thing. To retain our motivation, to keep good company, the satsang and study circles are going to be now a standard book. Therefore, now what's going to happen is, there is a last book on self-audit. Because as Dr. Pitre mentioned in the morning, auditing yourself is a very, very important dimension of progress in the spiritual path. Therefore, now anywhere and anyone new who wants to understand what the basic ethics and the basic process of sadhana and the Sai organizing, these five sets of books are now going to be standard and available at every nook and corner of this country, and very soon in all languages. I now request my brothers to offer that book at the Divine Lotus Feet so that we can release it for all the samitis throughout the length and breadth of this country. I request my national coordinator, the state president of Metro Chennai, and Brother Srini to offer these books to the Divine Lotus Feet. And these books will now be available at everywhere, and this will be given to all the states and all the samitis. To Bhagwan that he blesses us, that all of us go back charged with the spirit that is that he has blessed us with. Before we end the program, I've heard Bhagwan always say that what is the form of a true Sai devotee? If you see a man or a woman walking on the street, how would you know that that person is a Baba devotee? And I'd like to say that with a very short song, and I wish, since the spirit of this conference has been to participate together, I request each one of you to join me in this little bhajan that is not really a bhajan in the sense, but a definition of a true Sai devotee. Naino me prem dhar, vachno me amrit dhar, naino me. नैनो में प्रेम धार वचनों में अमृत धार सद्गुरु साई मेरा जीवन का धार सद्गुरु साई मेरा जीवन का धार नैनों में प्रेम धार वचनों में अमृत धार सद्गुरु साई मेरा जीवन का धार जीवन का धार मेरा जीवन का धार जीवन का धार मेरा जीवन का धार सद्गुरु साई मेरा जीवन का धार सद्गुरु साई मेरा जीवन का धार नैनों में प्रेम धार वचनों में अमृत धार सद्गुरु साई मेरा जीवन का धार सद्गुरु साई मेरा जीवन का धार जीवन का धार मेरा जीवन का धार सद्गुरु साई मेरा जीवन का धार सद्गुरु साई मेरा जीवन का धार नैनों में प्रेम धार, वचनों में अमृत धार, सद्गुरु साई मेरा जीवन का धार. द ट्रू डेफिनेशन ऑफ ए ट्रू डिवोटी ऑफ भगवान श्री सत साई बाबा इज एट ऑल टाइम्स वेन एवर ही लुक्स ही विल लुक विथ लविंग आईज, वेन एवर ही स्पीक्स ही विल स्पीक स्वीट नेक्टराइन वर्ड्स, एंड दिस विल ओनली हैपन when that person has practiced and experienced the presence of the divine master in his heart. Sadguru mere jivan ka dhar. I pray to Bhagwan that he blesses us with this countenance, he blesses us with this inspirational instrumentation that we can be for society. I pray to Bhagwan to bless all of us in all his mercy and grace, that the glorious message of our master is lived through society, through our instrumentation and through our example. Jai Sai Ram, and thank you very much for being a part of this conference. And we will end this with a pledge and a lovely song before we offer the entire conference at the Divine Lotus Feet of Bhagwan Shri Sat Sai Baba. Jai Sai Ram.
Thank you, sir. The only thought that comes to my mind at this moment is a prayer. That is, O Lord Sai, may your name be imprinted on each breath that we take, and may we live every moment of this life with your work in our hands. We are almost at the end of conclusion of this conference, and after this, all of us would head back to our individual places. On one occasion, a young devotee asked Swami, Swami, when we are in Prashanti Nilayam, we feel so energized and charged. But the moment we go back to our places, our battery discharges just like a battery of a car would. And Swami rhetorically replied, keep the car moving, the battery would never get discharged. So, in order to ensure that our cars always remain moving and our batteries are always charged to the fullest extent, and so that we always remain committed and dedicated in living our lives with Him, it is a time for us to take a pledge. And for this task, I would like to invite Mrs. Kamala Pandya, who is the National Coordinator of Sri Satya Sai Seva Organizations.
Om Shri Sai Ram. I know it is the last penultimate session of the conference, but I wish you would be more full of zest and vigor. Om Shri Sai Ram. Thank you. Going back to the start of the conference, let's remind ourselves we are kindergarten children and it's time to leave. So I go to my teachers, Shauri auntie, Asha auntie, to say bye to them. And these teachers see a tinge of sadness in my eyes. So they ask me, why are you sad? And one teacher tells me, did you not tell me 2 days from today is your best friend's birthday? The moment she said these words, your best friend's birthday, I said, yippee, it's my best friend's birthday. So I turned to my teacher and said, can you help me to decide what gift to give? So one teacher says, give a box of chocolates. I look down and say, but my friend doesn't eat chocolates. Then the other teacher says, give a toy. So I turn around and say, but if the toy breaks, then what will happen? There'll be no toy. So I look around, think for a while, and then I said, I got an idea. You know what I'll do? Whatever I have listened during the last 2 days, I'll put it to practice. And that is why we have today a pledge which we will place before Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Dear brothers and sisters, keep your right hand on your heart. And pray along with me. As I say the pledge, repeat the words after me, feeling the joy and the gratitude of the last 2 days. Let us today pledge to hold Sai's hand and walk with him, reciting his name with every breath. Let us surrender our mind at his lotus feet so that we feel his presence wherever we go. Let us shine with all his brilliance, bringing light and peace encompassing all. Let us be the lighthouse of faith and love, spreading joy and harmony wherever we go. Let us sing his glory and chant his name in every step on our way. Let us be that candle that spreads the light of optimism, and may our lives ring out the message of Satya and Dharma, Shanti, Prem and Ahimsa in every thought, word and deed. Let us surge forward as willing instruments selected by him to selflessly serve humanity by helping ever, hurting never, loving and serving all, both big and small. Let us build bridges, not walls, heralding an era of cosmic brotherhood. Let our consciousness expand, our compassion increase, so that we may experience care for life, concern for nature, respect for all beings, big and small. Let our lives be the life of Sai, living his message from this very moment. And finally, let samasta loka sukhino bhavantu become our way of life. Om Shanti, Shanti. Jai Sai Ram.
We will now have the closing song for this conference.
साई तेरे चरणों में संकल्प करते हैं, साक्षी मान के तुमको प्रतिज्ञा करते हैं। सत्य से मुँह ना मोड़ेंगे, धर्म कभी ना छोड़ेंगे, शांति की गहराई में हम चंचल मन को साधेंगे। प्रेम की डोरी से साई हम, प्रेम की डोरी से साई हम, हृदय हृदय को जोड़ेंगे, अहिंसा के पथ पर चलके हिंसा को हम जीतेंगे।
ये जीवन हम बनाएंगे, तुझको अर्पण योग्य ये जीवन हम बनाएंगे। साई राम 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 साई राम। जीवन साई संदेश पिला बनाएंगे, प्रशांति निलयम साई अपना अंतर हम बनाएंगे, प्रशांति निलयम साई अपना अंतर हम बनाएंगे। साई राम 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 साई राम।
गजानना 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 Amen. साई हमारा हम साई के ऐसा प्रेम हमारा
साई हमारा हम साई के ऐसा प्रेम हमारा
साई हमारा हम साई के ऐसा प्रेम हमारा
I'm not afraid. hare swami satya sai hare bhakt jana sangrajana bhakt jana
Jai Guru Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba.